Today on Stewardship Calling, host Bill Marianis will focus on the scriptural foundation of stewardship, referencing the Holy Gospel and three essential elements: weekly giving of first fruits, proportional giving, and joyful giving from the heart.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Bill Marianis from Atlanta, Georgia. And I share the view of Mark Twain that the two most important days of your life are first, the day you were born, and second, the day you figure out why. My why is to be a stewardship calling evangelist. I'm here to help you discover and live your stewardship calling, and in so doing, help your parish or faith-based community live up to its full stewardship potential. In the Stewardship Calling podcast, we're exploring exactly what stewardship truly is and how to use stewardship best practices and the latest research and guidance from Holy Scripture and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to become better stewards and build successful and sustainable stewardship ministries in our parishes. So fasten your seatbelts, return your seatbacks and tray tables to the locked and upright position, because we're getting ready to go on an amazing journey. In the last installment of Stewardship Calling, I shared my belief that when one wants to learn about true stewardship, there's no better place to start than the Holy Gospel. We learned that the word gospel in Greek is evangelion, which translates to the good news. So when we proclaim the Holy Gospel, we actually share and celebrate the good news that we so desperately need in today's troubled world. The remaining Stewardship Calling podcasts and my Igniting the Flame of True Christian Stewardship training program are focused on filling that education gap and helping to teach and preach what true stewardship is all about. Now, in the last Stewardship Calling podcast, we explored a variety of scripture passages that focused on the three of the most critical elements of true stewardship that help connect the dots between our stewardship, our spiritual growth, and ultimately, our salvation. We learn first, it's all about weekly giving of first fruits. Second, it's about proportional giving, giving in proportion to the blessings that we have received. And third, it's about joyful giving from the heart and not out of compulsion. Today, we study in greater depth several of the many more poignant stewardship parables found in Holy Scripture. We will cover three critical points. Number one, what am I supposed to do with all of my gifts? In other words, it's all about me. Number two, how did the greatest stewardship solicitor of all times solicit stewards? In other words, it's all about Christ. And number three, what does Scripture say about our responsibility regarding our money and wealth? In other words, go all in if you want to get in. Now, as you'll learn if you listen to the rest of my Stewardship Calling podcast, I believe that our money is far and away not our most valuable asset. But since most people confusingly treat the word stewardship as a synonym for money, let's take a little time to explore what Holy Scripture says about our money in this third segment. By the way, there will be a test in the third segment, so pay attention and let's see how well you do. All of these scripture passages we discuss in this and the previous episode of Stewardship Calling are reproduced in the PowerPoint presentation on my free website, stewardshipcalling.com, in the Stewardship Training tab. So let's begin by discussing what our Lord teaches us about our personal stewardship obligations, as clearly laid out in the most authoritative book ever on stewardship, the Holy Gospel. I want to begin with the parable of the talents, Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, because I believe this scripture passage, as much as any of them, teaches each and every one of us exactly what we are personally called to do. If you remember in the parable of the talents, the master called three servants together, and to one of the servants he gave five talents, to another one he gave two talents, to the last one he gave one talent. And the first servant who received the five talents went out into the world, put those talents out there, caused them to multiply, indeed doubled them, and returned twice as many back to the master. So too with the servant who had the two talents, who himself put it out into the world and caused them to multiply and returned another two back to the master. And they were told very clearly, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. by taking whatever talents they'd been given and putting them out into the world and causing them to multiply. They were rewarded by their master and told that they had been a good and faithful servant, that had been faithful over a little and would be given much for all of eternity. And to the servant who took his one talent and foolishly buried it and tried to return it, what Scripture teaches us is he was told, no, that's not what you're called to do. You're not called to bury the talents you've been given. You're called to take whatever talents you've been given and put them out into the world and cause them to multiply. Notice what Scripture doesn't say. Nowhere do we read, and the servant who was given five talents is five times more important than the servant who was given one talent. No, my brothers and sisters, it's not about how many talents you've been given. It's about whatever you do with whatever you have been given. And that's really what's important for us to take away from here. Now remember that back then talents was a form of economic measure, and today the word means something different. But the point is still the same. Regardless of what talents you've been given, whether it's your resources, your education, your abilities, whatever talents you've been given, please put them out into the world, cause them to multiply, and receive the reward of being a good and faithful servant who will be set over much. That's what you are supposed to do with whatever gifts God has given you. Now, the second part of today's program is really focused on best practices. See, in the business world in which I live most of my life, we always study best practices. What do the best companies do? What do the best leaders do? What do the best enterprises do? So let's take a second to study stewardship from a best practices perspective by using the Holy Gospel as our guidepost. And I'm going to focus your attention on Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. And this is the story of Zacchaeus, the short tax collector. Now, he was not one of the many, many, many faithful believers who showed up to listen to Christ and to understand what Christ was all about. Because you see, Christ is the perfect example of best practices. No one has ever before or ever since done as much as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done. Whether it was feeding the hungry with the fishes and the loaves, or washing the feet of disciples, or offering his body and blood, curing the sick, the blind, everything Christ did in his entire ministry was an example of stewardship, of taking his extraordinary gifts and talents and sharing them with each of us. So we come back to the story of the short Jewish tax collector Zacchaeus, who is struggling to try and figure out what this Jesus is all about. He can't get close. He can't see. He's too short. So he climbs the sycamore tree. And if you'll excuse the Cliff's Notes version of this extraordinary scripture passage, I want to get to the end when Christ, in emulating best practices, goes to Zacchaeus' house. He says, Zacchaeus, come down here. I'm going to stay at your house. And the faithful said, wait, what's going on here? This is a tax collector he's going to visit, not any of us faithful. But look at what happens as we quickly go through this extraordinary parable. We learn that Zacchaeus says, I give half my belongings, Lord, to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone in the least, I pay him back fourfold. In an incredible Bible study that I was privileged to attend by Archbishop Demetrius, he explained why Zacchaeus only gave half to the poor and kept the other half. Well, it's because he had an obligation that he had assumed to return fourfold those whom he had defrauded. And Christ teaches us in this extraordinary parable the importance of a personal visitation, a personal solicitation, of a personal relationship, of making it personal. Not some business enterprise exercise, not some email chain that comes through that we don't pay much attention to, but by making it personal and bringing the message. Because we learn from this scripture passage that today salvation came to Zacchaeus' house. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And as we struggle with our own being lost in the world, we know that our Lord and Savior will be there for us, and we need to be prepared to respond as boldly and as dramatically as Zacchaeus did. Now, thirdly, Scripture does talk frequently about money. So it's okay to talk a little bit about that, even though that's not the most important of the gifts and talents we have received. For that, I really want to focus our attention to the parable of the rich young man in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 26. Now, we know this story. This young man comes to Christ, and he asks a very profound question. He said, "Lord, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" See, he was focused on the right thing, eternal life. Now, our Lord and Savior delivers a very powerful message, and I'm going to skip over the first part, not because it's unimportant, because it's actually critically important, but I want to get to the part of Scripture where he gives an additional stewardship message. See, in his first response, Christ re-enumerates the Ten Commandments, and he talks about not killing or committing adultery or stealing or bearing false witness, and of course, he focuses intensely on loving our mother, our father, our neighbor. But then he gets to a very critical stewardship message. He says to the young man, he looks at him and he says, "If you would be perfect." Now notice the word he used, perfect. He goes on, he says, "Go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." If we would be perfect, we would take what we possess, sell it, give it to the poor, And we would follow Christ with the promise of treasure in heaven. And we know from the parable that the young man was unprepared to follow the clear direction of perfection. And we learn from Scripture that he went away sad. And how many of us go away in our lives sad because we are not yet prepared to go all in? We have to be prepared to go all in to get in. As I was delivering one of my Igniting the Flame of True Christian Stewardship programs, I was challenged by a member of the audience to say, "No one can go all in today's society." And I challenged him back again, and I said, "If I can give you one example, would you concede the point?" And he said he would. And I said, it's two words, and those words are Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa truly went all in by giving it all up to feed the hungry, to feed the poor. And in a stunning interview that was done by Mother Teresa, a reporter, who was so moved after she heard Mother Teresa's story, the reporter looked at Mother Teresa and said, "Mother Teresa, I don't think I could feed 1,000 people." And Mother Teresa wisely looked back at her and said, "If you cannot feed 1,000 people, then just feed one." My brothers and sisters, in this parable of the young man, to avoid going away sad and instead to seek and receive the true treasure in heaven, we must be prepared to go all in. In Matthew 6:19, we're told, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In secular fundraising, we use that phrase to say, "Show me a person's checkbook and I'll show you what they believe in." And in Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 and 18, we're confronted with an interesting scripture passage that says, "You might say to yourself, I'm rich because of my own power and strength. But remember the Lord your God. It is He who gives you the power to become rich. Everything we have is a gift from God. And it is that gift of these talents that we have received that we must put out into the world and cause to multiply to live our own unique stewardship callings." And in the final indictment I want to share with you in this segment, it comes from Luke 16, verse 11, where we're told, "And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven?" My brothers and sisters, if we cannot be trusted with those things that can be spent and will be lost and will rust and could be stolen and that we can't take with us, can we indeed be trusted with the true riches of heaven? Well, that's about all the time we have for today, and hopefully today you've come to appreciate that, number one, what we're supposed to do with our lives is to take all of our talents and put them out into the world and cause them to multiply for God's greater glory, and so that we too may receive the blessing, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and be placed over much that the Lord promises for all of eternity. Number two, we've learned that the greatest stewardship solicitor of all times, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, came to seek and save those of us who are lost, and He teaches us to personally touch each of our stewards if we want to have the greatest impact. And we will learn in an upcoming episode of Stewardship Calling that stewardship is the most personal of matters, and until we return to making it personal, we will continue to be less successful stewards. And number three, we were challenged and tested by being asked, are we prepared to go all in and give everything we have and follow our Lord? Are you ready to go all in? Did you pass the test? Or will you go away sad? Please remember, my brothers and sisters, that the two most important days of your life were the day you were born and the day you figure out why. You are indeed an amazing person made in the image and likeness of God. Once you figure out why you're here and start living your stewardship calling, you can experience the true joy of using your many God-given extraordinary gifts as you proceed on the path toward theosis. And when we help others better live their stewardship callings through our churches, we create a robust set of ministries and a strong and growing Christ-centered community living its stewardship calling for God's greater glory. To learn more about this holy and important work, please feel free to go to my free website, stewardshipcalling.com, where you can find all of these stewardship calling podcasts, watch the Igniting the Flame of True Christian Stewardship Training Program, and access a significant amount of free stewardship information and resources, including learning about strategic planning as an invaluable stewardship tool for your parish and community. I'm also happy to answer any of your stewardship questions that you may have. All you need to do is post your question in the stewardshipcalling.com blog. In the meantime, my prayer for you is that you live your stewardship calling and S-O-T-P A-E-T-J. Stay on the path and enjoy the journey. God bless.
You've been listening to Bill Marianis. Be sure to join us next time with another installment of Stewardship Calling. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.